Good.
You're supposed to say good to go.
Good to go.
How you doing?
Good to go.
All right, all right. Why do we say that? Why do we say that? As we close the book of St. Matthew in our study, in our time together, Jesus gave the disciples not only a commandment, but a commission. He said, I want you to go into all the world. I want you to share this message, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in our scripture text today from Matthew chapter 28, verses 17 through 20, we read about his commission and his commandment that we should take this message, this gospel, into all the world. Verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And all the church said, amen. You may be seated. Power in worship. Power in worship. Father, bless us now. As we shall attempt to share your word, I pray that it would not be the thoughts of Coleman, but the working of the Holy Spirit. Speak through me today, through these lips of clay to the hearts of these your people. God, I pray that you would change us by what we hear. And Lord, you would indeed change us for the good. Thank you for a day of worship. May we truly have power in our worship. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, what does it mean to worship? What does it mean to worship? When they saw him, they worshiped. Their reaction, their response to God, their reverence of God was to worship.
Amen.
What's your response to God? Do you worship him? Do you honor him? I believe there are things that should happen as you worship God, as you recognize him. We're not talking about religion, my friend. We're not talking about going through a routine. We're talking about recognizing God, honoring him, doing the things that are purposeful, doing the things that are right in his sight. So the first thing that we see is that we respond to him. We respond to him when they saw Jesus. When they saw him. They didn't say, oh, hello, Jesus. They worshiped him. In our times of worship, we need to not see what we feel or to see the things that are common. We need to see God. Yes, I want to see my friends when I come to church. My fellow church members, yes, I enjoy seeing you, but I came to see Jesus because we want to respond to him. We want to let him know that we appreciate him, which also means that we acknowledge God. What does the Bible tell us? In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So when we worship, we respond to God in a way that's reverent. We respond to God in a way that he is holy, set apart from anything else that we've seen. But we also acknowledge that the Lord is great. And the Lord is good.
Good.
A little child is taught that prayer. God is great. God is good. If you don't know anything else about God, it ought to be God is great. There's none like him in all of the earth. There's no one like him. Sometimes, look at what the scripture says. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. You can have that cloud of doubt to come in and start flooding your mind to where you don't recognize God. You're looking at your problem. You're looking at your situation. Your spiritual focus is more on, well, you just don't know what I'm going through. Maybe I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you what, if you recognize God, he does. He is able to bring you out and to bring you above those situations in life because he is God. Amen. Beside him, there is no other. Acknowledge the Lord. Acknowledge that he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. Forget this stuff about you being a self-made man or self-made woman. You didn't make yourself. Come on. And if God holds your next breath, you can't catch it in a fast car because he is God. Our purpose for coming together today is to acknowledge the goodness and the greatness of God. Granted, there's a lot of things going wrong in this world. I acknowledge that. But above all that, God is God. But not only do we respond to him as God and acknowledge him as God, but we also have a testimony that we love God. What happens when you show that you're worshiping? When you're not ashamed to lift your hands or just to allow the tears of joy to flood your eye? If you just to think about the goodness of God, that you never would have made it without him. Just think about the struggles you went through, pain you had, and when everybody else was trying to help you, God was helping you. When you face that breast cancer, or those other cancers, or just the pain of life itself, and you just dare to worship God through it. You dare to go on your knees and recognize. You dare to say, Lord, I thank you anyway. Thank you. Got a whole lot of reasons that I should be giving up, but I got one reason to keep on, and that's because you're God. You worshiped him. You worshiped him. You praised him. You thanked him. And you may not be where you want to be, right? But thank God you're not where you used to be. Because of the amazing things that God does. You've got to understand what worship is. You'll never come to the place of full realization of power in worship until you understand what worship is all about. It's not about which songs you sing or who gets to pray the prayer. It's not about just the music in church. It's about these things, responding to him, acknowledging him, and then being a living testimony of a loving God. Amen. Is that all right? Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Jesus said in John, when he met a woman who had issues of worship, she kept telling him, our fathers say, well, we need to worship in this mountain. And you Jews say, you need to worship in the temple. Jesus said, no, lady, you got it all wrong. He said, the day comes, and now is, that the true worshipers of God must worship him in spirit and in truth. He says, and when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, that hour is coming that they will worship him. They will recognize him. And those are the kind of people that God seeks. Yeah, you came to church today looking for something. Looking for something to hold on to. Looking for something to believe in. But did you not know God was seeking you, which is the reason why you're here? He sought you first and you responded. When they saw Jesus, the disciples were not looking for him. They thought he was dead. And truly he was dead, but he wasn't dead and gone. He died, but he rose again from the grave. May I suggest to you that regardless of what you're facing, God has the power to raise you up above that situation, above that pain, into the brightness of his glory. He's seeking you for worship. He's saying, come on now, get past that attitude. Come on now, get past that doubt in your mind. Come on now, come on and worship me. Because that's where you're going to find your true power. Now that we know what worship is, what do we expect? What do we expect from worship? How do we come together, as we stated, to find that we recognize God and that we acknowledge his presence and knowledge, we respond to him, and then we become that living testimony? But where do we get the power from? I've seen people in services where they've lifted their hands and rejoiced, but when they came out defeated. They were bowed down because the same burden that they came to church with, they picked it up and they carried it back with them. I may not be able to change the conditions of my life, but I can change the attitude of my heart. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to change my attitude. It's up to God to change the things in my life, but it's up to me to change my will. And I will rejoice. I will say that God is good and that God is great. That's a true worshiper. That's a true worshiper. Are you a true worshiper? Oh, Pastor, I've got problems. So do I. Oh, Pastor, I've got issues in my life. So do I. And I can tell you, you'll never get past those issues until you get your worship right. When you get your worship right, you're going to hold your head up. You're going to acknowledge, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You're going to acknowledge the power that is now working in you. It's not you that change God, it's God who changes. Look at somebody and say for the first time, I'm good to go. How do we take this worship and transform that, or we're able to take this worship and get energy from it? Which brings us to our second term today. What do we have that we call this power? What is this power? Where do we get this power from? You shall receive power, dunamis. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon. Where do we get this power, and what does it mean? Had a couple of things that came to mind. When you think about power, you think about energy, right? Think about maybe the Energizer Bunny, or you may think about a rocket being launched into space. Are we talking about force, or are we talking about something else that goes along with it? Now, you can release a herd of bulls into a china shop. Get the picture in your mind. They have power. No one would doubt it. They'd go all through that china shop, tearing up everything in sight. They've got power, but do they have authority? That's the question. Yeah, we can say we have energy, we have this ability, but do you have authority? Here's the amazing thing about God, and here's the amazing thing about worship. When you come from the presence of God, you don't just have the power or ability, but you also have the authority. Well, let me just go on down the street. I'll put on my signal and go down the street. A lot of people say, I got a ministry. Sound familiar? I got a ministry, and one of two things is happening. They've got a lot of energy, but you don't see a whole lot getting done. Or the energy is used in a way that the good that they do turns out bad. Or you have the situation where someone is all talk and no show. What I want to argue today is that when we have true worship, it produces true energy. Yeah. both the ability and the authority. First of all, you cannot come before God without him inviting you. He says, no one goes to God except my Father first draw him. You're drawn. You're drawn because you're trying to fill an empty space in your life that no one can fill but God. You're drawn because, as the hymn writer said, you need him every day and every hour. Reinhold Niebuhr, a German theologian, said that what would love be without power? If love didn't have a way of demonstrating itself, let me show you something. Jesus said, no greater love hath any man than to lay down his life for his friend. A lot of us want energy to get. And Jesus is talking about something else. He's talking about energy to give. Did you hear that? I was dealing with something the other day, and I said, Lord, I'm not feeling too good about this. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, told me that every time you sacrifice, you're giving up something. And in essence, you're dying, because that part of you is getting ready to leave you. But as you die, you also live. Did you get that? It's when you feel like, oh man, I feel horrible trying to help this person. And I know that they don't like me. I know they're not going to appreciate it. You're not doing it for that. You are sacrificing. But as you sacrifice, the resurrected power of your Lord and Savior begins to grab hold of your life. Amen. So let me show you where the energy is. The energy is when you worship, there ought to be some things happening to you. First of all, enthusiasm. Say that with me, enthusiasm. But then the second is enjoyment. I pity the person that leaves out of church. And you know what? I hated church. I hated church. Now, it all depends on what happened to you while you were in church. Now, if all you saw were the folks that got on your last nerve, then maybe you didn't enjoy it. But if you saw the Lord lifted up high, his train filled the temple, if you saw the Lord, then you saw something that you enjoyed. The psalmist David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There were hypocrites there. Yeah. Amen. In the house of the Lord. There were sinners there in the house of the Lord. There were thieves there. But guess who else was there? God was there. Yeah. And while you pointed everything out, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that. I will lift up my eyes and behold the beauty of the Lord. Anybody with me want to see? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Second time, look at somebody and say, I'm good to go. I didn't come to see your faults. I came to see Jesus anyway. So let's look at the first word. First one, by the way, the last word we're going to get to is energy, because that's where we want to go. We don't want to just enter the presence of God and not receive that energy, both the authority and the ability to go out of here. You're going to go back to some of the same houses, same problems, same jobs, same treatment program that you left on Friday. But you're going to go back with a sense of knowing that God, through worship, got a hold of you. Ah, for the third or fourth time, or how many ever time I tell you, look at somebody, tell them I'm good to go. So what about the enthusiasm? The enthusiasm of a believer. That word actually is two words. It means to enter theos. Theos being the word that means God. The disciples, when they came to worship, you couldn't worship just man. But when they saw the resurrected Lord Jesus, they didn't see a man. They saw God in a man's body. As a matter of fact, they saw him, and he said, all power. That sounds like God to me. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to recognize that one who says I've got all power. Yeah. Because if he's got all power, that means he's at least got some power in my life. As much as I'll give him, people say, well, I'm just going to give him a little bit. I'm going to give him everything. I'm going to give him everything. So when you're entering into worship, you're entering into God. You don't just come in a building. That's why when Isaiah describes how he saw the Lord, he said he was high and lifted up. His train, which was the representation of his glory, he said it filled the temple. You can imagine in your mind a smoke, a Shekinah of the glory of God. First of all, the brightness of his glory. Brightness of his glory, shining everywhere. And the angels that were supposed to worship him had to turn away their face from him and could not behold him. The Bible said, with two wings they covered their eyes. Two wings they covered their feet. And with two wings they flew. And they cried one to the other. One said, holy. And the other got over here. He said, holy. And the other got it back and he said, holy. A crescendo of praise. And when Isaiah saw that, he said, woe is me. Yet he was in the presence of God. He had entered Theos. He was enthusiastic, David, because of what he saw. Not the angels, but God. Not the preacher, but God. Not the officers of the church, thank God, but God. You need to see him. Enter into his presence with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For he is God.
Come on.
Enter Theos. Enthusiastic. Well, what did you do when you went to church today? I was enthusiastic. I entered God's presence. But not only that, you have what we call the enjoyment. Here's what happens. In the midst of all of your problems, if you believe in the power of God, somewhere in that service, God's going to speak specifically to you about the issues of your heart. He may not do it in a verbal way, but he does it in a calming way. Anybody with me? Amen. Elijah on the backside of the mountain at Horeb. And he was so terrified that Jezebel was out to kill him. Felt like nobody was standing with him. He felt like he was all alone. And so God came to him. And first you have the earthquake, everything shaken up. Then you had the lightning, but God was not in the lightning. Then you had the rocks breaking apart. And the fire, but God was not in them. But then he heard a still, small voice. I dare you to listen while you're in church. Because when you listen, you're going to hear something. And it's going to give you joy. Look at what it says in the text. Jesus spoke to them. You don't serve a silent God when it comes to the needs of your life. People say, well, what's God going to do about this? And what's God going to do about that? He can't do anything until you shut up. And you listen. You run on past the answer. You're supposed to exit off at that point. Stop complaining. Start praising. And say, speak, Lord. For your servant is listening. But now, if you're not one of the people that come to church to really be changed, then don't listen. Block it out. Right? But if you're really coming to the house of prayer for God to do exceeding abundant above all that you ask or think, open your spiritual ears. And as Jesus would say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What the Spirit is saying. Let him hear. Amen? Amen. How many of y'all here to listen? Yeah. All right. I'm not going to have you to say good to go yet because we got one more to go. Energy. Isn't that what you try to get? People say, well, I need my vitamins. So they go to the store and they get their vitamins, you know. They go to the store and get the vitamins. And then they run across this thing at the convenience store. I need some energy drink. So they'll go and they'll buy this thing that's in a bottle that says energy. It even got muscle people on there. And they get it to get energy because they know that their strength is weak. And while it's good to energize your body, I don't have a thing wrong with it, except some of y'all old folk that are trying to buy stuff to get you energized. You might want to think twice about that, right? Okay? You might not need that much energy. At 12 o'clock at night, you don't need to be bug-eyed. I can't go to sleep. You see what I'm saying? You might want to leave that alone. Might want to just, as the young folks say, chill out with that. Yeah. You don't need that much energy. What about motivation? A reason for getting up. Energy that says to you, you got a reason to be alive because God loves you. You got a reason to face this situation because God deeply cares for you. That's the kind of energy I'm talking about. Can only come through the Holy Spirit from one source. The Holy Spirit now coming to you and says, I came to help you. Jesus makes this statement. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And what we'll do as believers, we'll cut it off. We'll put a period there. And then we'll go to the next one. Go ye therefore into all the world. And while I kind of merge them together, I didn't do so trying to twist the scripture, but I want to show you that there's a connection between what he said and what we're supposed to be doing. Now ask your neighbor a question. Are you sure? No, y'all ain't saying that. Let me rewind the tape. Are you sure?
Are you sure?
You're good to go. Because a lot of us, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And that what we'll do is we'll go in our own energy. In our own strength. And when we fail, got the nerve to ask God, Lord, why you let me fail? Well, you the one that farred yourself out there. You the one that got yourself out there and extended your... No, you didn't have any power. It's just like my wife is constantly on me. Don't bring the car home on empty. What do? I'm trying to play the Folgers commercial good to the last drop when it comes to my car. You pay a whole lot of money for that, you know. So much per gallon of gas and... You know, and then when the car don't crank, anyway, back to the sermon. But there's no wonder why the church cannot fulfill the Great Commission. And it boils down to this connection that we have with Jesus' power. He's not talking about power that he possesses solely. He's talking about power that he shares with only the church. God is not moving through in this way that we're talking, this miraculous way. He's talking about moving through the church because he's talking to the believer. He's saying to them, I want you to go because I got the power. And as you go, I'm going to give you the power to do what I need you to do. God would never command you to do anything that he would not give you the ability to do it with both the authority and also the strength. Look at somebody and say, I'm strong. No, y'all said strong. I didn't say strong. I said, I'm strong. Say it with an attitude. I'm strong. I can face this cancer. Not only can I help myself, I'm going to help somebody else. I'm strong.
Come on.
Because you need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, and you know the rest of the scripture. So now, what we've got to do is we've got to make this connection before we leave here the next 2 minutes. We've got to make this connection between Jesus' strength, his power, and our going out to share this glorious message. Can we do that? Amen. So what I wanted you to do, I want you to think about a stoplight, okay? Because what are you waiting for at the stoplight? Some of y'all just lie because when it's yellow, you going. Yellow means step on the gas. Yellow means just gun it, right? But a couple of things happen when you're given a command of God. Here are the things that happen when God commands us. A lot of times, go back at that verse 17, it says, some doubt it. Your doubt will creep in like a little thief and tell you, you don't need to go nowhere. Now, what's happened? You're now at least only proceeding with caution, yellow light. Right? A lot of you have the yellow light, which tells you you can only go but so far, so just creep ahead. So what do we have? Instead of having enthusiastic, enjoyable Christians, we got those creeping along. It's like some of y'all, when you get out in traffic, well, let me not go to there. Just because you ain't got nowhere to go mean that people got someplace to go. Get over in the slow lane. I'm going. I used to not drive fast. But now I learn I got somewhere to go. My wife, she drives fast all the time. But I wish we had Christians in the progressive lane of life. I long for the day that we as believers would get over in the fast lane, know where you're going, because you can't get a ticket because you're doing what's right. God has sent us on a destination, all the world, not just here in Campbell County, not just in Lynchburg, all the world. Don't put on the caution light because of you. I don't understand. I don't know. He said, I'm going with you. I'm in the car with you. As a matter of fact, we say, God is my co-pilot. Get out of his seat. He's your pilot, amen? He's the one that guides you. You sit over in the passenger seat and let Jesus take you where you need to go. Are you good to go? So what do we want to happen? We don't want the devil to come in and tell us, stop. Who told you to do this? We don't want him hindering us, telling us, wait a minute, you're a sinner. I know that. You ain't told me nothing new. But I got God. And he forgives me and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And you ought to rebuke the devil. Say, you know what? I rebuke you for even saying that. Yes, I know my weakness, but I also know the one who strengthens me. Yeah. I know the one who got me up this morning. And you know, as a matter of fact, devil, I ain't got time to talk to you because I'm good to go. Yeah. I am good to go. Yeah. I'm going to leave you behind because I've got a mission. I'm on a mission for the King. Yeah. How many of y'all are good to go? Yeah. Don't let anyone tell you. Don't let anyone stop you. Don't let anything hold you back. Jesus said, go. And you know what? Green light. Green light. Not yellow light, not your doubts, not the devil, but Jesus. You know why? Because he's on the other end. He's up in glory saying, come on, child, you got an open lane. Come on, child, you got my strength. I want to ask you this final question. Are you good to go? And when you get to the place, when on a Monday morning, come on. You can wake up like SpongeBob.
Hey.
Yeah, Monday morning. Like you just popped out of a toaster. I'm ready. That's when you know that your spiritual energy is at a level where you're good to go. You know the problems that you're going to be facing. You know the things that are coming against you. But just like SpongeBob, you're so naive, you say, I don't care. I'm just going to go and make some Krabby Patties. You can tell I watch cartoons. God has an expectation for you and me. And for us to leave out of this church today defeated would be so wrong. For us to leave out of here today burdened down would be so wrong. But to know that this loving God, in spite of all that you face, all the things that you're going to go through, he's still giving you that green light.
Amen.
You know where you failed him last week. Probably going to fail him in the future, but he still gives you that green light. He said, if you will acknowledge me in worship, if you will recognize my power and what I can do through you, through your worship, I'm going to transform you. I know people are saying you're a failure, but I'm saying you're forgiven.
Yeah.
I know people are saying that you're not anything, but I'm saying you're my child.
Amen.
And the reason why God wants us to go is because I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to be right there with you. Stand up, Miss Jessie. Stand up. You know, I've had a partner. She's been with me now. She doesn't look like she yesterday. Let me tell you about her yesterday. Come on. No, okay, I won't embarrass you. She had her hair thrown back and like, I'm Jessie. But let me just say this. You need some help in life. More than a spouse, you got the Holy Spirit. Your next heartbeat comes through the Holy Spirit. Amen. And there are times where, come on, walk with me. Yeah, it's all right. The Holy Spirit will get close to you. And remind you, because this lady has reminded me a lot of times when I was brokenhearted. She would say, you can do it.
Amen.
God didn't bring you this far. Now, while some of you may not be married, but you got somebody who's going to stick closer than a brother.
Yes.
You've got the Holy Spirit to tell you you're good to go.
Yes.
Now, if that's what he's saying about you, why don't you just stand up and say, I'm good to go. I'm good to go. I'm good. You good to go? I'm good. Shake somebody's hand and tell them, I'm good to go. I'm good to go. All right, we're done. We're finished preaching. Amen. But I'm good to go. I know I'm going to cry, but I'm good to go. I know I'm going to have problems, but I am good to go. Let's get out of here. You've had the pep rally. Now you need to get out there. Amen. But if there's someone today, maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you have not experienced this wonderful, extraordinary relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you got into a church, but God didn't really get into you. Today can be a special day. You can know him. You can have his joy and his presence. So if you're here today, we invite you to come. Come meet a man that can change everything. Is there one? Will you come?